So today we have very good fortune of having His great Ram Girdhari Prabhu with us, and he will be enlightening us on Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela 21.125 onwards. Prabhuji, are you there on the call?
Yes, Mataji, I'm present.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your wonderful association. Thank you for giving us your valuable time. And you can take over the call, please.
Thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So today we are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So from Madhya Leela chapter 21, text number 125 onwards. Kama Gayatri Mantra Rupa Haya Krishnera Swarupa Sharda Chabisha Aksharata Rahaya Se Akshara Chandra Haya Krishne Kari Udaya Trijagat Kaila Kama Maya. Translation: Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is identical with the Vedic hymn known as the Kama Gayatri, which is composed of 24 and a half syllables. Those syllables are compared to moons that arise in Krishna. Thus, all three worlds are filled with desire. Text 126. Sakihe Krishna Mukha Dvijaraja Raja Krishna Vapu Simhasane Vasi Rajya Sashane Kare Sange Chandrera Samaja. The face of Krishna is the king of all moons, and the body of Krishna is the throne. Thus, the king governs a society of moons. Purport: Krishna's face is considered the king of moons, and his body is considered the throne. All the other chandras, moons, are considered to be subordinate moons. His left cheek is a moon, and his right cheek is a moon. His forehead is considered a half moon. The spot of sandalwood pulp on his forehead is considered a moon. And his fingernails and toenails are also different moons. Text 127. Duiganda Shuchikana Jini Mani Sudarpana Sei Duipurna Chandra Jani Lalate Ashtami Indu Tahate Chandana Bindu Sei Ekapurna Chandra Mani. Krishna has two cheeks that shine like glowing gems. Both are considered full moons. His forehead is considered a half moon, and the spot of sandalwood there is considered a full moon. Text 128. Haranakka Chandera Hata Vamsi Upara Kare Nata Tara Gita Murali Rathana Padanaka Chandragana Tale Kare Nartana Nupure Radhvaniya Raghana. His fingernails are many full moons, and they dance on the flute in his hands. Their song is the melody of that flute. His toenails are also many full moons, and they dance on the ground. Their song is the jingling of his ankle bells. Text number 129. Text number 129. Nache Makara Kundala Netra Leela Kamala Vilasi Raja Satata Nachaye Bhru Dhanu Netra Bhana Dhanur Guna Dui Khana Nari Mana Lakshaya Vindetayam. Krishna's face is the enjoyer king. That full moon face makes his shark-shaped earrings and lotus eyes dance. His eyebrows are like bows, and his eyes are like arrows. His ears are fixed on the string of that bow, and when his eyes spread to his ears, he pierces the hearts of the gopis. Text 130. Yei Chandra Badanata Pashari Chande Rahata Vinimule Vilaya Nijamrita Kahun Smita Jyotsnamrite Kanare Adaramrite Sabaloka Kare Apyaita. The dancing features of his face surpass all other full moons and expand the marketplace of full moons. Although priceless, the nectar of Krishna's face is distributed to everyone. Some purchase the moon rays of his sweet smiles, and others purchase the nectar of his lips. Thus, he pleases everyone. Vipula yatararuna madana madaghurana mantriyara eidui nayana Lavanya Keli Sadana Jana Netra Rasayana Sukamaya Govinda Vadana. Krishna has two reddish, widely spread eyes. These are ministers of the king, and they subdue the pride of Cupid, who also has beautiful eyes. That face of Govinda, which is full of happiness, is the home of the pastimes of beauty, and it is very pleasing to everyone's eyes. Text 132. Yandra punya punya phale se muka darshana mile dui hanki ki kharibe phane dviguna bhade trishna loba bhite nare mana kshoba duke kare vidira nindane. If by devotional service one gets the results of pious activities and sees Lord Krishna's face, what can he relish with only two eyes? His greed and thirst increase twofold by seeing the nectarian face of Krishna. Due to his inability to sufficiently drink that nectar, he becomes very unhappy and criticizes the Creator for not having given more than two eyes. Text 133. Nadileka laksha koti sabe dhila ankiduti tate dhila nimisha achadana vidi jadato padana rasa sunyataramana nahi jane yogya shijana. When the onlooker of Krishna's face becomes dissatisfied in this way, he thinks, why did the Creator give me thousands and millions of eyes? Why has he given me only two? Even these two eyes are disturbed by blinking, which keeps me from continuously seeing Krishna's face. Thus, one accuses the Creator of being dry and tasteless due to engaging in severe austerities. The Creator is only a dry manufacturer. He does not know how to create and set things in their proper places. We will read till 135, so this is 134. Ye dheki be Krishna nana tharakare dvinayana vidihana hena avichara morayadi bola dhare koti anki tare kare thabe jani yogya srishti tara. The Creator says, let those who will see Krishna's beautiful face have two eyes. Just see the lack of consideration exhibited by this person posing as a Creator. If the Creator took my advice, he would give millions of eyes to the persons who intends to see Krishna's face. If the Creator will accept this advice, then I would say that he is competent in his work. Text 135. Krishnanga madhurya sindhu sumadhura muka indu ati madhusmita sukirane ಏತಿನೆ ಲಾಗಿಲ ಮನ ಲೋಭೇ ಕರೆ ಆಶ್ವಾದನ ಶ್ಲೋಕ ಪದೇ ಸ್ವಹಸ್ತ ಚಾಲನೆ. ದ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸೆಂಡೆಂಟಲ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಕಂಪೇರ್ಡ್ ಟು ಅನ್ ಓಷನ್. ಎ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ಲಿ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ರಾಡಿನರಿ ವಿಷನ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಮೂನ್ ಅಬೌವ್ ದಟ್ ಓಷನ್, ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಸ್ ಫೇಸ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಈವನ್ ಮೋರ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ರಾಡಿನರಿ ವಿಷನ್ ಇಸ್ ಎ ಸ್ಮೈಲ್ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಸ್ವೀಟರ್ ದ್ಯಾನ್ ಸ್ವೀಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಶೈನಿಂಗ್ ಬೀಮ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೂನ್ ಲೈಟ್. ವೈಲ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ದೀಸ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ವಿತ್ ಸನಾತನ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ, ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ಬಿಗ್ಯಾನ್ ಟು ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್ ಒನ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಅನದರ್. ಮೂವಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟಸಿ ಹಿ ರಿಸೈಟೆಡ್ ಅ ವರ್ಸ್. ಐ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಫಿನಿಶ್ ಟು ಮೋರ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್. ಮಧುರಂ ಮಧುರಂ ವಪುರಸ್ಯ ವಿಭೋರ್ ಮಧುರಂ ಮಧುರಂ ವದನಂ ಮಧುರಂ ಮಧುಗಂಧಿ ಮೃದುಸ್ಮಿತಂ ಏತದ್ ಅಹೋ ಮಧುರಂ 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 ಮಧುರಂ. ಓ ಮೈ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ದ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸೆಂಡೆಂಟಲ್ ಬಾಡಿ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಸ್ವೀಟ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಫೇಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಈವನ್ ಸ್ವೀಟರ್ ದ್ಯಾನ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಬಾಡಿ, ಬಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಸಾಫ್ಟ್ ಸ್ಮೈಲ್ ವಿಚ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ದ ಫ್ರಾಗ್ರೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಹನಿ ಇಸ್ ಸ್ವೀಟರ್ ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ಪೋರ್ಟ್. ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಕೋಟೆಡ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರ್ಣಾಮೃತ ಬೈ ಬಿಲ್ವಮಂಗಲ ಠಾಕುರ ಎನ್ 137. ಸನಾತನ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಮಾಧುರ್ಯ ಅಮೃತೇರ ಸಿಂಧು ಮೋರ ಮನ ಸನ್ನಿಪಾತಿ ಸಬಪಿತೆ ಕರೇಮತಿ ದುರ್ದೈವ ವೈದ್ಯನಾ ದೇಯ ಏಕ ಬಿಂದು. ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್: ಮೈ ಡಿಯರ್ ಸನಾತನ, ದ ಸ್ವೀಟ್ನೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಸ್ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಈಸ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಅನ್ ಓಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಅಂಬ್ರೋಜಿಯಾ. ಆಲ್ದೋ ಮೈ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಇಸ್ ನೌ ಅಫ್ಲಿಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ಬೈ ಕನ್ವಲ್ಸಿವ್ ಡಿಸೀಸಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಐ ವಿಶ್ ಟು ಡ್ರಿಂಕ್ ದಟ್ ಎಂಟೈರ್ ಓಷನ್, ದ ರಿಪ್ರೆಸಿವ್ ಫಿಸಿಷಿಯನ್ ಡಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಅಲೌ ಮೀ ಟು ಡ್ರಿಂಕ್ ಈವನ್ ಒನ್ ಡ್ರಾಪ್. ಪರ್ಪೋರ್ಟ್: ವೆನ್ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಕಾಂಬಿನೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಕಫ ಪಿತ್ತ ಅಂಡ್ ವಾಯು, ದ ತ್ರೀ ಬಾಡಿಲಿ ಎಲಿಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್, ದೇರ್ ಅಕರ್ಸ್ ಸನ್ನಿಪಾತಿ ಆರ್ ಎ ಕನ್ವಲ್ಸಿವ್ ಡಿಸೀಸ್. ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಸೆಡ್, ದಿಸ್ ಡಿಸೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಕಾಸ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ದ ಪರ್ಸನಲ್ ಫೀಚರ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ದ ತ್ರೀ ಎಲಿಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ದ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಸ್ ಬಾಡಿ, ದ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಫೇಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಸ್ಮೈಲ್. ಸ್ಟ್ರೈಕನ್ ಬೈ ದಿಸ್ ತ್ರೀ ಬ್ಯೂಟೀಸ್ ಮೈ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಗೋಸ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ಕನ್ವಲ್ಷನ್ಸ್. ಇಟ್ ವಿಶಸ್ ಟು ಡ್ರಿಂಕ್ ದ ಓಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಸ್ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿ, ಬಟ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಕನ್ವಲ್ಷನ್ಸ್, ಎ ಫಿಸಿಷಿಯನ್ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಡಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಈವನ್ ಅಲೌ ಮೀ ಟು ಟೇಕ್ ಎ ಡ್ರಾಪ್ ಆಫ್ ವಾಟರ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಟ್ ಓಷನ್. ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ವಾಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟಾಟಿಕ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವೇ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟಿಂಗ್ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಮೂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಗೋಪೀಸ್. ದ ಗೋಪೀಸ್ ವಾಂಟೆಡ್ ಟು ಡ್ರಿಂಕ್ ದ ಓಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಸ್ವೀಟ್ನೆಸ್ ಅರೈಸಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ ಬಾಡಿಲಿ ಫೀಚರ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಬಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಡಿಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಅಲೌ ದೆಮ್ ಟು ಕಮ್ ನಿಯರ್. ಕಾನ್ಸಿಕ್ವೆಂಟ್ಲಿ ದೇರ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ ಟು ಮೀಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇನ್ಕ್ರೀಸ್ಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಅನೇಬಲ್ ಟು ಡ್ರಿಂಕ್ ದ ಅಂಬ್ರೋಜಿ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಸ್ ಬಾಡಿಲಿ ಫೀಚರ್ಸ್ ದೇ ಬಿಕೇಮ್ ವೆರಿ ಅನ್ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ. ವಾವ್. ಸೊ ವಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ಡ್, ವಿ ರೆಡ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ 125 ಆಲ್ ದ ವೇ ಟಿಲ್ 137. ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯಾ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ. ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೇ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನ್ ಇತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ. ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತೀ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶತಾರಿಣೇ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸವಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಸೋ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಅ ವೆರಿ ಇಂಟ್ರೆಸ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಸೆಟ್ ಆಫ್ ವರ್ಸಸ್ ದಟ್ ವಿ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ರೆಡ್ ಟುಡೇ. ಐ ಆಮ್ ನಾಟ್ ಶೋರ್ ಇಫ್ ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಏಬಲ್ ಟು ಮೇಕ್ ಎನಿ ಜಸ್ಟಿಸ್ ಟು ದೀಸ್ ವಂಡರ್ಫುಲ್ ನರೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಸ್ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿ. ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಸ್ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿ ವಾಸ್ ಪರ್ಸನಲಿ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್. ಸೊ if at all somebody can actually glorify the Supreme Lord to a fullest extent, who else could be doing better than his dear devotees? Because one of the reasons Mahaprabhu came is to also enjoy, relish what it means to be his own devotee. So it is very interesting to note that what we are hearing from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about Krishna's beauty, in one sense, even Krishna even does not get to realize himself the way his devotees and the way Mahaprabhu as Bhaktavatara is narrating here. So the interesting part of this 13 verses that we read today from 125 to 137, and I'm sure before and after the glorifications about Krishna's beauty, this is something which is beyond Krishna. In one sense, there's nothing could be beyond Krishna, but it is somewhat beyond Krishna from the perspective that even Krishna himself is trying to understand his own self. So, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are enjoying the beautiful aspects of Krishna's personality. His face, his lips, his cheeks, his body, his smile, his personality, his forehead. So, this is called devotion. When we take darshan of the Lord, our darshan is centered around what we can get from the Lord. But when gopis take darshan of the Lord, they give pleasure to the Lord to an extent that the Lord want to enjoy that pleasure. Just because of the responses and the behavior of the gopis, and especially Srimati Radharani, Krishna got so much tempted that he would like to become gopi. He would like to become a devotee. So this is the superlative nature of the position of gopi. As we have discussed in the past about Jiva Goswami's narration about five types of remembrances: Smaranam, Dharanam, Dhyanam, Dhruvanusmriti, and Samadhi. It is very nicely explained by Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha that what we generally remember is just a Smaranam, which is about natural appearance of thought about Lord Krishna in mind and general remembrance. But the Smaranam gets matured. Something gets added to Smaranam by which it becomes Dharanam. You get become permanently fixed. This thorough attraction of the mind on the form of the Lord is called Dharanam. You are carrying Krishna within yourself. And from dharanam it is became it becomes dhyanam, which means on a specific forms and pastimes of the Lord. A person gets attracted to one specific form of the Lord and he cannot think of himself on any other pastimes, any other form, any other nature, any other feature of the Lord. That's called dhyanam. And dhyanam gets matured to a stage called dhruvanusmriti, which means ceaseless remembrance. Ceaseless remembrance is, there is no moment that a person who is in dhruvanusmriti is not able to remember Krishna. A spontaneous and constant nectarian flow of remembrance of the Supreme Lord. And the stage above that is called samadhi. Accomplished meditation, which means only the Lord is existing in one's consciousness, nothing else. So these village girls, gopis, are so much advanced in their consciousness, there's nobody else in their consciousness apart from Krishna. They may be looking like an apparent village girl, illiterate, just doing some odd jobs, but their consciousnesses are so elevated to an extent that Krishna becomes mad after them. To an extent, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is a sannyasi or in the form of a mendicant, says the highest form of devotion is to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis. Gopi Bhartar Padakamalayor Dasa Anudasa Anudasa. So when you go through this wonderful set of verses, there may be a wonder, or I was surprised, or I was wondering, Kabe habe bolo se din amar, when will that day be mine, where we get to at least get an iota or a portion of such a realization in our lives. The reason I said that I won't be able to do justice to this wonderful glorification is because this is about somebody who witnessed and they are sharing their experience. By just repeating them, it will be just simply words without emotions. It is like if we are asked to narrate about a place where we have been and lived, vis-a-vis, we are asked to narrate about a place we read about. If we read about a place or read about a particular object or a particular thing, on the contrary, you experience and you live through. And if both the persons speak in terms of the words and narrations, they both may say the same thing. But a person who has experienced will be able to make us realize that I also should experience. On the other person, he can only share some theoretical stuff. So I'm slightly not sure if any of the conversations that we are going to have about these 13 verses of Krishna's beautiful face, moon-like faces, and his smile, his lips, his body, his, you know, personality, that Mahaprabhu is glorifying. Practically, Mahaprabhu is not able to control himself glorifying. He is just constantly, it's like a flow of river. These glorifications about the Supreme Lord's opulence and sweetness are emanating from the lips of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of a gopi. And he's saying that I would like to relish more. And my physician is not allowing me because he's concerned that I'll get more sick. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Balaram and Krishna is speaking. This is part one of Brihad Bhagavatamrita in the fag end of this narration. What happened was, Krishna was completely mad after gopis, even though he was in Dwaraka. So the scene was what I have narrated before. Narada Muni went to Uddhava's house and everybody were discussing about Krishna's glories. When they were discussing about Krishna's glories, at the fag end, Krishna overheard the conversation and started to become mad after gopis. And he ran. Nobody could stop him. He kept on running like a mad person. And only the one who went after him was Balaram. And Krishna ran to the ocean of Dwaraka. And there was an ocean there. And Krishna started to tell Balaram, "My dear Balaram, you see this? The Yamuna River." Krishna was so much in love with his gopis. Krishna was explaining, "Balaram, you see this Yamuna River? You see this? My dear Vrindavan Vasis are going to come." So Krishna started to blabber. It's like kind of a dream that he's seeing, and Balaram was giving him company. Actually, it was such that to distract Krishna from this all this scene, Balaram only took Krishna around. So this is a transcendental scene where Krishna is completely lost in the love of gopis, wherein the gopis on the other side are completely lost in the love of Krishna. And when Krishna is looking at the beauty of these gopis, he gets so much mad that he becomes their subservient. So anyone becomes subservient to that gopis is equally glorious. Anyone becomes subservient to those servants. Anyone becomes subservient to those servants, servant. And anyone becomes subservient to the servants, servants, servant. They all get same convulsive disease as Mahaprabhu is narrating here. Today, we are not having that disease. We are only reading about the disease. Let us all pray to Shri Radha Madan Mohan, who is taken over by Madana Mohana Mohini, that may we also get that disease at some point in time in our lives. In one place, during this conversation between Krishna and Balaram, somewhere, I'm not remembering the exact context, Krishna is telling to Balaram, the reason I am not going to go back to Vrindavan is, the moment I go back to Vrindavan, gopis will immediately fear that when will I leave them. And they will not be able to tolerate any more of my separation. Now, they have anguish on me. They have frustration on me. They are yearning for me. But they have a hope that I will come one day because I made that promise. That expectation that Krishna is going to come, and when Krishna is going to come, He will give us all the pleasure. That expectation is keeping them alive. And every day their expectation increases their love for me. And that is good enough. If I go, then they will immediately come in to a situation of fear of losing me. So, the love of my dear devotees in my absence is hence considered superlative and superior to every other love. Love in separation. And there is not even one moment in my life that has gone when I have not thought about them. And there is not even one moment in their life it has gone where they have not thought about me. And my dear Balaram, the only reason that these gopis are maintaining their lives is when I am going to come back, I will be searching for Radharani, I will be searching for Vishakha, I will be searching for Lalita, I will be searching for Chandravali, I'll be searching for different gopis. And if I don't find them, I will be disheartened. And they do not want me to be disheartened. So just to ensure that I don't get disappointed, they are maintaining my life, maintaining their life. That is the love of gopis. So as a part of our discussion today, we will have a few reflections. And the first reflection is, we as practicing devotees are of the mindset to take pleasure from Krishna. But these glorious devotees are the ones who give pleasure to Krishna. The transformation from taking pleasure from Krishna to giving pleasure to Krishna is called Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness has got two classification phases. One is a phase of purification. Second is a phase of relishment. When we are in a phase of purification, it's purely about rules, regulations, following, all those things. Where Krishna is our master, we are his servants. At the phase of relishing, we relish Krishna's beauty, we relish Krishna's association, and Krishna in turn relish our association. So this first phase ends at anartha nivritti. The second phase begins after anartha nivritti. From Shraddha to Prema, శ్రద్ధా సాధుసంగ భజన క్రియ అనర్థ నివృత్తి దిస్ ఆర్ ద ఫేస్ ప్యూర్లీ మెంట్ ఫర్ ఓన్లీ ప్యూరిఫికేషన్ బట్ ఫ్రమ్ ద ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ అనర్థ నివృత్తి టిల్ ప్రేమ ఈజ్ అబౌట్ రిలేషింగ్ ఇనిషియలీ వి ఆర్ జస్ట్ స్విచ్చింగ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ద కంటామినేటెడ్ ఫేస్ సో వి స్టార్ట్ టు రిలీష్ కృష్ణ టు అన్ ఎక్స్టెంట్ దట్ ఎవెన్చువలీ కృష్ణ విషెస్ అండ్ రిలీషెస్ అవర్ అసోసియేషన్ ఇన్ ద జర్నీ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్నెస్ వెన్ వి కమ్ ఇన్ కాంటాక్ట్ విత్ ద బోనఫైడ్ స్పిరిచువల్ మాస్టర్ our first association with the bona fide spiritual master whether it is siksha guru or diksha guru the first phase is very very interesting where we are appreciated we are motivated we are encouraged we are supported we are provided all the assistance and with this our relationship with the spiritual master develops scientifically and not sentimentally and the day the spiritual master realizes that our attachment and surrender is scientific and not just sentimental the relationship that he was maintaining till that point in time changes from love to chastisement the love in terms of sweet words gets changed to love in terms of chastisement this phase the second phase of relationship with the spiritual master is pretty long till all the last snare of attachment in this material world and sense gratification is gone spiritual master puts us through the process of purification and once we finish that phase how long depends upon our reciprocation the third phase is the phase of eternity with the spiritual master where the spiritual master wishes to see us and Krishna wishes to see us Srila Prabhupada explains the success of our Krishna consciousness is in the Lord wish to see us because our spiritual master wish to see us. So the first reflection is about giving enjoyment versus deriving enjoyment. So as practicing devotees, because of all the conditioning that we have been through, Krishna is just an order supplier for us. Or we just go to Krishna for pleading for our needs. Definitely as we have been speaking, this is not something abominable, this is something glorious. But what we just read today about Krishna's beauty, and the descriptions of Krishna's features, into the finest extent is only possible only when we start to relish Krishna for giving pleasure to Krishna. Uddhava was telling to Narada Muni, my dear Narada Muni, you calling me as a recipient of Lord's mercy is a kind of funny because I used to always think that I am the real friend of Krishna because Krishna shares almost everything with me till I met gopis in Vrindavan Dham. And I thought Why is this Krishna mad after these girls that our own queens in Dwaraka doesn't have? I really thought Krishna was exaggerating. But the moment I went to Vrindavan Dham and looked at the state of consciousness of these wonderful gopis, I decided that I will never ever leave this place. Not only leave this place, I will make sure I take the most humblest position in Vrindavan Dham to an extent that the dust of the lotus feet of these wonderful devotees constantly fall over me. Uddhava, still today, is residing in Vrindavan Dham as plants and creepers so that the pure devotees of the Supreme Lord walk over me every day, and that way my life will be considered as a great success. Such is the love of these gopis, because there is no single trace of personal desire in their love for Krishna. So at some point in time, we should definitely yearn to have association of those souls who have developed such devotion. And a good fortune for us is we have Srila Prabhupada, who's of that caliber. If Prabhupada had not been there, who would have shown us what is Radha and Krishna's love mean, and who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So from that perspective, our association with the self-realized soul means, in spite of us, we will get to progress in Krishna consciousness. This "in spite of us" is a very important word, because the biggest obstacle for us in not to able to see Krishna is us. So in spite of us, you will get to see Krishna. And when you get to see Krishna, that's when we will be able to describe Krishna in this capacity. So what these wonderful narrations that we read today, they can be seen only when Krishna reveals, and Krishna cannot control himself to reveal to such a person who is blessed with the association of self-realized soul. Sanatana Goswami, just because of this wonderful opportunity of hearing from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, elaborates them, describes them for our pleasure in various literature. Just Mahaprabhu poured out his heart to Sanatana Goswami. Otherwise, Mahaprabhu doesn't do this to anybody and everybody. In Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu did not want to meet Pratap Rudra. Mahaprabhu did not want to meet anybody who is of worldly nature. Mahaprabhu did not want to meet, you know, any women. Mahaprabhu did not want to meet any businessman. Mahaprabhu had a very, very choosy personal choice of whom he will meet, what he will eat, where he will go. And because Mahaprabhu shared out his heart to Sanatana Goswami, they have a good fortune to hear about Krishna's wonderful nature, to hear about Krishna's transcendental feature. And at least theoretically, we are able to hear them. Hence, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is encouraging us, somewhere or other, we should endure to get to that platform. So hence, we should somewhere plan to not to take pleasure from Krishna, somewhere start to give pleasure to Krishna. And the easiest way to give pleasure to Krishna is to please our spiritual master. If you please our spiritual master, then Krishna is pleased. When Krishna is pleased, then gopis are pleased. When gopis are pleased, Radharani is pleased. When Radharani is pleased, Krishna is becoming mad after that person to whom Radharani is love is there. And then we have access to the spiritual abode of the Supreme Lord. The second reflection that I want to share is something that I spoke about it in the last week's Bhagavatam class. So I would like to slightly elaborate on them and put it into context now. In Krishna consciousness, we all are learning in our own pace, within our own capacity. According to Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, each and every one of us are expected to take responsibility and eventually become an authority. Srila Prabhupada did not want us to be a honest fool. Srila Prabhupada always wanted us to take up responsibility, to become an authority, and win more souls to the Supreme Lord. This realization of mine that I'm going to share now has got indirect connect to the context that we are currently in about Krishna's beauty. If we are supposed to be authority, if you are supposed to be accepting positions, if you are supposed to be directing a community in the path of Krishna consciousness, if we are not realized in Krishna consciousness, then the authority that we would accept is only superficial. So we are going to discuss a small ladder of consciousness evolution. How, when we have to take responsibility in this preaching movement, what is the important factors that we need to go through? Or what is the natural progression of consciousness that we need to go through, without which we will be just a superficial devotee? And to superficial devotees, these Krishna consciousness Siddhanta cannot make sense, and they will not be able to relish, and they will ignore this as simply exaggeration. So Krishna does not allow anyone to touch these zones of Krishna consciousness, these emotions of Krishna consciousness, these wonderful narrations of Krishna consciousness, if we are a superficial devotee. And Srila Prabhupada warns us to be wary of them. So position or authority before realizing is superficial. Realization before application. What is application? If I want to realize, if I want to talk about something, if I am going to share and realize knowledge, without proper application of that, then I'll be just a sentimental person or just a person repeating somebody else's words and not actually realized. It is like what I am doing now, about talking about Krishna's beauty without properly realizing. I won't be able to inspire anyone's heart, because I have not seen, I have not realized, and I am still struggling with my own anarthas. So if somebody speaks about Krishna's beauty without a realization. And the realization without application. What is this application? Applying what we have heard in Krishna consciousness about from sadhana level, from service level, from seva, from all the, you know, perspectives of applications. If you are not in, you are just a bookish guy, then realizations won't come. So position before realization, realization before application. And if I apply some things before associating or apply something without association, then that application is niyamagraha, simply waste of time. Because that will be purely a sentimental and imaginary one, and it will not have any serious science in that. So application should be corroborated, should be supported, should be substantiated, should be supported with association. So any application on Krishna consciousness without association, it is again superficial. And association before knowledge, association without proper knowledge, that association is again superficial. So hence we need a proper knowledge whom to associate. If we are amateurs, if we have, you know, not proper knowledge, if we just externally get attracted by dhoti, kurta, shika, kanti, tilak and associate, then we are digging our own graveyard. Association, Krishna consciousness, identification of devotees, they are not by dress or address. They are purely by our consciousness. Just because I am living in a temple, just because I am a resident devotee, just because I am a brahmachari, just because I am somebody externally devotional, does not qualify us to be a devotee. So association before gaining proper knowledge from a bona fide source is dangerous. And knowledge without Shraddha, that knowledge will be scholarly. So my second set of realization is about the ladder of evolution from Shraddha to accepting a position. Either reaching a position or accepting a position should also be natural evolution of consciousness. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, 33rd, 34th, 35th verse somewhere, that Krishna consciousness is a gradual evolution of consciousness wherein we raise our consciousness from a sense gratifier conditioned level to a self-realized soul, from Naradama to the state of Mahatma. So nobody is expecting us to have an overnight transformation. We are expecting a gradual transformation of consciousness. And for that, at every stage, there is a prerequisite. For me to gain knowledge, I need to have Shraddha first. When I have Shraddha, with Shraddha if I have knowledge, with that knowledge I associate, in that association I apply, in that application I realize, with that realization I become an authority. That is why self-realized souls are only called as authority. All of us are supposed to be agents, representatives and mouthpiece or genuine servants of such self-realized soul. We speak, whatever we speak, what we heard from Srila Prabhupada, what we heard from bona fide source. The moment I add any of my own masala, any of my own stuffs, then there is no value to that. So hence the second realization in this context here is, all that we just heard, all that we just glorified, we will be able to appreciate, we will be able to talk as an authority on the subject matter about the beauty of the Supreme Lord, provided we follow this consciousness evolution. So if we want to do a check to our own selves, where do I stand, so that I will be able to relish? Do I see Krishna's face as moon, Do I see Krishna's forehead as moon? Do I see Krishna's cheeks in the way gopis saw? Do I see Krishna's smile like that? Today, we do see Krishna and we do get purified. But is our darshan that we are having anywhere closer to samadhi? Anywhere closer to Durvanusmriti? Anywhere closer to dhyanam? Today we are doing smaranam. So Jiva Goswami said, good. That's the beginning point. But what is the target? We need to get to the stage of samadhi. We cannot be able to think of anything else apart from Krishna. Only Krishna should be the focus. To an extent, that wherever you see only Krishna. Wherever you see, we see only Krishna's. Whomever you see, you talk about Krishna. Wherever you go, you take Krishna. And that's what Srila Prabhupada did. Srila Prabhupada knew how to engage everybody in Krishna's service. Srila Prabhupada knew how everything is Krishna's resources. Srila Prabhupada knew how to win more souls to Krishna's lotus feet because he had only one agenda. That was to just fulfill the orders of a spiritual master and rest is a history. So Shraddha to realization and position is a natural consciousness evolution. As on today, we as practicing devotees, if we step over and skip a stage and try to act like an authority, talk like an authority, behave like an authority, we will fall down from that place and get hurt. So hence my second realization is that in the journey of Krishna consciousness, we need to give utmost importance to these components, Shraddha, hearing from a bona fide source, associating with bona fide people, and in that association, learn to get engaged in service and do practical service. We all, each and every one of us should have practical devotional service that we are committed to and focused every day, apart from our sadhana. Sadhana is anyway like a food for our sustenance. But we need to have dedicated service where we are answerable to our bona fide spiritual master. Yes, this is a service that I am committing for your pleasure. And the success of it, we should offer it to our spiritual master. And failure of it, we should take responsibility. And in that application stage, we will be able to. That's why there is a very nice saying. Generally, everybody wants to hear songs. Everybody enjoys songs when they are happy. But when they have challenges, they understand the lyrics of the song. Similarly, generally we all call ourselves as devotees. But when we really apply, then we understand what is spoken in the Bhagavatam class in the real sense. Otherwise, every Bhagavatam class may or may not make sense, depends upon what you would like to hear or what you would not like to hear. One speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam spoke about Krishna's flute for 30 days. Krishna's ankle bells for, a long time. So, for us, we may not be able to comprehend how is this possible. But for those people who are self-realized, for them, they can never stop thinking of them. And they go to an extent of cursing Lord Brahma as gopis in their prayers and poems nicely narrated. They are saying the creator is an imperfect one. He is not able to properly create because how is it possible to glorify Krishna with only two eyes? Millions of eyes still will fall short of looking at Krishna. Forget about blinking. That is anyway a defect. They have already branded Brahma as a defective creator. This is called love. And from our perspective, this is exaggeration. But from the perspective, from the consciousness level of gopis, this is called love, and their existence is only for this love. And last but not least, as a third reflection, I would like to share that Srila Prabhupada started this Krishna consciousness movement to give that love which otherwise in previous ages, otherwise in previous yugas, were almost impossible or very difficult to get, which he made it very, very easy, accessible even by a person like me. So the point is, Srila Prabhupada is so special to us because very soon, if we follow whatever he said, we will be able to understand these lyrics of these wonderful 13 poems that we read today. We will be able to experience in our own lives. And we will eventually make it to the spiritual abode by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So we are always eternally indebted to Srila Prabhupada for what he has given us. And we should make sure, that we reciprocate and definitely pass on these wonderful blessings to our near dear ones and win them to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. So with this, I end here. I may not have done elaborate analysis study on each of this wonderful narration of Krishna's beauty. I'm sure at some point in time, Krishna will give us opportunity to dive deep into that nectar. Shri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss. Hare Krishna, any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for the very, very beautiful class. I really liked what you were saying about how it begins with smaranam, and then it's a long way to really get into the thoughts of Krishna and go up to samadhi. And then the main thing that you were telling, it's not just about, theoretically knowing it. Rather, it's a long way to get the real realization of Krishna's beauty. Very, very insightful, very nice class. Prabhu, thank you so much. I really loved the class today. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Any thoughts, comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for class. I just wanted to repeat the prerequisite ladder, you know. So there was a part that I'm missing. I know for knowledge we need Shraddha, and then from knowledge we get association, and then from association, then what comes next?
We learn to apply. In the association of devotees, we apply and we have to apply what we heard. If you don't apply, you will not get realization. If anybody gets or talks about realization without application, then be wary about the person because it may be superficial. How can I tell about the taste of Rasgulla just by reading about Rasgulla, unless I have never eaten them? So you have to eat. That the taste of the sweet can be narrated only when you consume them. So association to realization without an application may either be superficial or incomplete. Hence, every one of us are encouraged to apply Krishna consciousness in our own personal lives. And that way we will be able to realize Krishna consciousness, and with that realization we will definitely become an authority to glorify Srila Prabhupada and take Srila Prabhupada everywhere.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
So I just had one comment. Was reminded of something. So when you were talking about the gopis saying that, you know, one, these two eyes are not enough. We need so many more eyes, thousands and thousands of eyes, to actually relish the beauty of Krishna. So I was just reminded of the similar situation where we've heard of this Anantacharya in the Sri Sampradaya. So once he was asked, he went and asked the Lord to give him thousands of mouths, maybe, to glorify the Lord. And the Lord said, okay, I will give you thousands of mouths. And when he was trying to glorify the Lord, he said, I cannot glorify you. And the Lord asked him, so why can't you glorify me? I just gave you the ability to speak with thousands of mouths. He said, no, I needed the thousands of mouths just to say that I cannot glorify you. Even that is not sufficient to glorify you. Even to say I cannot do it, I need thousands of mouths. So that's your glory. So I'm just reminded of that. And it is... It's so nice, to really, someday when we get the realization, maybe not now, but it's so wonderful to see how inconceivable Krishna is and how unlimited he is. I just wanted to make that comment. Thank you, Prabhu.
Jai, Hari Bol. Very nice. Any other thoughts, comments? I mean, Srila Prabhupada, when he, one of the unique part of Srila Prabhupada's movement is, he has definitely educated us not to be sentimental. If these verses are read without Srila Prabhupada's directives and purport, we may very easily, give some explanations and emotions and sentiments about how beautiful Krishna is. But then they are all very, very superficial, because who are we, or how can we, and when will we, and how can we glorify Krishna's beauty by what qualification? So all we can do is just enjoy, relish, and become responsible enough to someday or the other, serve the Supreme Lord, and yearn for this day to get that love. Otherwise, we are seeing a lot of Bhagavatam reciters, Sahajiyas, and a lot of so-called practitioners of Srimad Bhagavatam. We see them directly jump into Krishna's beauty and Krishna's relationship with Srimati Radharani, and they compare themselves with normal worldly beauty. So, sometimes we see, get to see devotees who try to say, you're looking like Radha and Krishna combination. I mean, when I hear such things, I feel really, really angry that, we don't even know who Radha and Krishna is and what their level of affinity and prem. And we directly compare to like a frog in the well, trying to compare the size of the ocean by the limited understanding of what we know about the well. So, hence, that's the reason I was saying that I'm not sure if I will be able to ever make justice to describe or explain or even talk about these purports or these wonderful narrations of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because this is all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's natural emotional outburst or kind of sharing to Sanatana Goswami. He is just in trance. So Sanatana Goswami is so merciful that he relayed it to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami through the Sangha, and we got it. Otherwise, we would not even know how Mahaprabhu ever felt, how gopis would have felt. So we are so much indebted to these acharyas who are making such information available to us so that we start yearning for it. So hence, whenever we read such deeper pastimes of the Lord and deeper emotions about the Lord, we may definitely get a feel of, yes, the Lord's beauty. But then the more indebtedness we get is towards Srila Prabhupada to make us not sentimental, rather try to attach ourselves to this process in a scientific way.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for wonderful realization and wonderful clause. Thank you. Every time you bring very nice points. And especially in this class, when you were telling about when Krishna was talking to Balram, why he didn't go to Vraj. So that was new for me, and that was very nice. Because I used to think that Krishna could have gone to Vrindavan, so why didn't he go? If he like bound gopis to not to come to Mathura and all. It was very nice class, Prabhuji.
Thank you so much.
And especially the thing that without realization, we don't have so much influence on others. So we should try to realize whatever we are reading, hearing, before telling to anyone. Yeah, thank you so much. It was very nice.
Once Prahladananda Maharaj told, he said, very interesting point he said. In fact, Prahladananda Maharaj, last year, 2016 October GBC meeting in Mumbai. So we had a one day dedicated for sharing about the importance of reading Srila Prabhupada's books. So on that day, it was one whole day dedicated because GBCs had a concern or they were observation that ISKCON as a movement is growing pretty fast. But the members of the movement's reading of Srila Prabhupada's books are not as much as it used to be in the earlier days. So there was a discussion whole day dedicated to reiterate the importance of reading Srila Prabhupada's books in depth, not just superficial. So that day they gave a reward to, they gave a special applaud, special recognition to His Holiness Prahladananda Swami Maharaj, because he had studied Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita 152 times. So I had a good fortune of hearing his being part of one of the discussions in Mayapur. So he was mentioning. So he opened this chapter on the spring season, and we were conducting a seminar. So on the projector, one of the paragraphs in the spring season was mentioned, how there was a cool breeze, aroma, fragrance, bees are coming around. So all those descriptions are there. And we were like 30, 40 people were sitting in the audience. And Maharaj was facing us. And Maharaj literally did not see the board or the content. And he read all the, you know, the lines from the Krishna book, almost like he was by heart. That was only a surprise for me that how he could remember such things. But then he made a very important, interesting point, is that in our lives, he made us do that. So the reason I pulled out this, dear devotees, is because he said that when you read this paragraph about spring season, use all your imagination to transport yourself to such a place and feel Vrindavan Dham. Don't just read mechanically. So he said, when you read about, oh, there was a cool breeze, then there was a, you know, aroma from the flowers, there were the bees, or, you know, sounds of the bees. So whatever descriptions were there, he says, just imagine, if at all imagination can ever be used, they are supposed to be utilized to transport ourselves to such a consciousness where we can also take part in some subtle capacity in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, mechanical reading, we will skip these pages. We will say that, okay, fine. These are all very beautiful places. Let us go to the next. So we will be searching for only information rather than relishing. So he was saying that let us not search for information in our books. Rather, let us relish what is, you know, shared by acharyas. So it was very, you know, interesting to hear that part. I was moved because I have read that chapter before. But after that experience, you know, to read that part was much, much more interesting.
Thank you for sharing this.
Thank you. Okay, any other thoughts and comments?
Oh, Hare Krishna Prabhu. Actually, I forgot. I did have one other question. You said that, let me see. association, I think, without knowledge. If you have knowledge, I think, what was it? I think that was it. Yes. If you don't, I don't know. Something to result. Huh?
Don't choose an association depends upon popularity and external recognition. Association is not by classification on somebody's dress or somebody's address. It is about the consciousness. And we need to have proper knowledge whom to associate. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj very carefully, categorically warning us of pretenders. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj wants us, in a journey of Krishna consciousness, don't get carried away by those people who are looking like devotees, rather associate with devotees who are actually one. And he makes it a point to say that how to recognize an actual devotee. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita elsewhere, it is explained that a person, I mean, the example that was given is about a snake and a snake with a jewel. Both the snakes are poisonous, but the snake with a jewel is more poisonous because of the jewel that attracts a person to come closer to the snake. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj explains, a person is generally materialistic, is a dangerous person to associate with. But if he's in the garb of a devotee, he's all the more dangerous because you may believe in him and get carried away. So the reason, association without knowledge, then we come to sentiment. I'll give you an interesting example. I'm sure the participants of this forum are mature devotees in ISKCON. I'll tell you an episode that happened in ISKCON. We have history in ISKCON where we went after spiritual masters without understanding the principles to an extent that when the spiritual master fell down from his consciousness, still we were with him, supporting, and eventually left ISKCON. We have another category who are challenging our own spiritual masters, who are thinking themselves as an authority because of the bookish and scholarly knowledge. So both are detrimental. If somebody is too much scholarly and try to question Srila Prabhupada's translation, they challenge our authority of Vaishnavas. If somebody is too sentimental to a person without being attached to a principle, they get lost from this process. Hence, a proper knowledge is needed to choose an association, and a proper association is needed to apply that knowledge. So that is why association is a sandwich between knowledge and application. Knowledge becomes the feeder for association, and the association, in association, the knowledge gets enhanced and become an application. That's why phalena parichiyate. The result of the pudding is in eating. Hence, we need to learn to use the knowledge to choose the association to get into an application. Making sense?
Oh yes, that was again very beautiful. And so, let me see. The initial prerequisite is still the Shraddha, right?
Yes. Yes.
And then you need the Shraddha for the knowledge, and because without the knowledge you can't choose proper association.
Yes.
And then you said that that knowledge is a sandwich between the association.
I'm sorry, association is a sandwich between knowledge and application.
Between knowledge. Okay, right. Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hi, boss.
So, Prabhuji, here I have one question, or this kind of question, once I was reading about Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, And he was like, without distributing even a single book, he was not eating any day. And when Miss like other Prabhuji were going with him, they were eating what they wanted to, but he was like too austere to eat only fruits and all. Like his association was good, but the way he was like following austerity, it was tough for others to follow. So it right. was like, so from here I was thinking that sometimes we have very nice association, like as these devotees were having the association of Bhakti Tirth Maharaj. But sometimes the way devotees follow this Krishna consciousness, although it is like their way of following it, but for us, it is very difficult. So in this way, to means like to seek that association, we have to see our capacity and capability as well, or how we should take it.
Okay, it is not about the capacity. It is the comparison is given between a fly and a honeybee. Both have the capacity to suck whatever the nectar or aroma. But one choose filled, another choose the, you know, honey spot. So within our limited capacity does not come from us. You read 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text number 23. Upadrishta Anumantacha Bhukta Bharta Bhokta Maheshwaraha. Krishna explains to Arjuna, Upadrishta, I am overseeing. Anumanta, I am permitting. Bharta Bhokta Maheshwaraha, I am master, I am the beneficiary, I am the supreme lord. Srila Prabhupada writes in the second paragraph, first line in the purport. He says, the spirit soul is a part and parcel of the supreme lord, and as a part and parcel, Paramatma is an eternal friend, and he is also intimate to the spirit soul. When the spirit soul takes a direction from Paramatma, he can never be lost. There are so many things Prabhupada writes there. So what is important here is that with whomever we associate, it is up to us to see what to take. And it is just a matter of desire what to take and how to take, how much take, how much to progress, that will be facilitated. So our side of the story is, we need to desire correct and let the other person tweak our ears correct. Rest everything will fall in place. Preface to Nectar of Instructions, Srila Prabhupada writes, once we control our mind and senses, everything concerning to what will take us back home, back to Godhead, will be revealed. So we cannot hunt the right cause. We can only prepare ourselves so that things can be revealed. So in a very best association also, if you have the most superlative association, if you do not know to receive the knowledge, if you do not know to, you know, choose what to do, then probably we will be losing. Like the mosquito sitting on the lap of the king and the throne, thinking that I am sitting on the throne, his life is only 2 minutes. So where are we sitting is not the point. How are we sitting and how are we associating is the point. I'm not sure if I am really, you know, making some sense to you for your question. But the message here is to learn to be a honeybee rather than be a fly. There are a lot of devotees who are with Prabhupada, but not everybody made it. Of course, they will eventually because of some ajnana sukriti. But those who took the real advantage of Srila Prabhupada's instructions, they made it. And they are making some more devotees because of their, you know, the mercy that they derive from Prabhupada. So the message here is that we need to search for the nectar rather than search for the filled. Be a honeybee rather than a fly. Is that okay?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for a wonderful answer. And one more thing, Prabhuji, I wanted to ask. As you raised that point that previously in the time of Prabhupada, that most of his disciples, like many of his disciples, were reading lots of books in comparison to nowadays. So I was feeling that thing for myself as well, that I have a Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita for myself, like in my shelf. Like I'm not ready, means I'm not able to even touch them.
Right.
Yeah, so it is
do
like...
Want, I can give you an answer. Last night I spoke in a Bhagavatam class. you better surrender to Krishna now, because Krishna is sitting as Paramatma. Otherwise, Krishna will make you surrender. If you don't surrender then also, Krishna will introduce a process by which you have to surrender. If you still don't surrender, then Krishna will come as death personified and reveal himself to us. So the point is that, in previous years, we are somewhere or other. You plot a graph of your earlier days of Krishna consciousness, how serious you were, the way you held your chanting mala, the way you held your Bhagavad Gita, the way you, treated devotees, the way you treated deities, the way you treated prasadam, first 2 years of your Krishna consciousness, till your initiation. You would have been almost treating everything like how you deal with things in an ICU. Very careful, very responsible. But somewhere or other, some complacency and familiarity creeps in. That familiarity and complacency to the process that we are in is making us take things for granted. And to fix that, Paramatma is sitting in the heart and screaming, don't do this, do this, don't do this, do this. So we ignore him. So then what does Krishna do? Paramatma steps out in one form and come as spiritual master and try to show us, hey, do this, do that, do this, do that. And spiritual master sends some of his representatives. So any instructions, devotees that they give to you, they are actually spiritual master speaking to us. And if you don't listen to it, then Krishna will introduce a challenge. As we always jokingly say, everybody likes music, but when you are in trouble, you'll understand the lyrics more than music. So when challenges happen, that's when we'll understand purports much more nicely. Yes, 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 this is correct. That's what we say, better you apply what you heard so that Krishna consciousness classes will make a lot of sense because you would have relished them. Otherwise, you have to be put in through some other process for you to relish. And that will be a hard lesson. In Daksha's episode, that's exactly what happened. In another forum, Bhagavatam forum, we were speaking. Daksha, at 4th canto, 2nd chapter, he was an hypocrite. At 4th canto, 7th chapter, when he reached, Daksha was called as Daksha Dvija. Who is calling that? The Supreme Lord is calling Daksha as a Brahmana. So what made this transformation is the process of asking for forgiveness, repenting, and going and serving those people to whom we offended. Made him, purified. So, he learned lesson in a hard way. At least by reading Daksha's episode, we should learn a lesson in an easier way. Which we don't. But at least we have a hope that this process will definitely take us forward. Depends upon how much we allow that process to work on us. You're okay?
Prabhuji, yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, is there anyone else has any question or comment for Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam.
Dhanvat, Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for such a wonderful class and being so patiently for all the queries. Like all these queries are basically like whatever goes in our mind and coming from these all wonderful devotees. Prabhuji, like I always like just my feeling yesterday when we went on book distribution, it was, we say that book distribution really is purifying and it will really make you more humble. But at times, what I found yesterday was, like, people, like, we have an Indian community over here. And mm-hmm. then, too, they are so adamant in even holding the books of Krishna that it makes you so sad. I did not know how to deal with that because I have been, like, to the American population over here and they have been so adaptive to it that they, it's a very variable, experiences which come. But then, how to make them at least think about Krishna? Like you feel sad that these souls are not getting closer to Krishna. But, and I had my like Bhagavad Gita kids with me, smaller kids with me. Like looking at them also, they were like, and over here you know that schools have 20 minutes of reading compulsory, right? So like when mm-hmm. handing the Krishna book to them also, it was really so hard for me initially. Some of them did take it, some of them did not take it. But to just preach about Krishna or at least to tell about Krishna, that at least love Krishna, forget about what other philosophy, internal philosophy is. It gets so hard to get them because now when we hear from beautiful, wonderful devotees like you, Like, it is so humbling that we do not know anything you feel at this point. And there is so many things to learn. And as Mataji said, that there is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavatam sets. But like, to regulate ourselves and okay, have a specific time for this is not happening. So how to deal with all this? Like, it sometimes becomes frustrating. Like, we are not doing anything you feel. Because there's so much things to do around.
Okay. I'll give you 3 points to this. Number one is as a book distributor. Okay, because Vaisheshika Prabhu will be able to answer you much better than what I'm doing. But as a book distributor, in terms of how to win such souls, rather than giving an answer, I narrate an episode from Srila Prabhupada's time. There was a devotee by name Buddhimanta. Okay, so this Buddhimanta was a famous book distributor in Srila Prabhupada's army. And this was in Australia. One day, Buddhimanta was selling books. So, one chief executive of an organization came. So, this chief executive of an organization got so much sold out to Buddhimanta's way of distributing books. He immediately thought that I should somehow hire this guy for the organization. But he didn't want to directly go and, confront him that way. So, he just went and purchased Bhagavad Gita and said, I'm very much pleased. So, if you would like to, talk to me further or meet me further, or I have a company, if you would like to join my company. So, first he bought the book and befriended him and gave his card to Buddhimanta and said that if you want to ever join a company, call me and you're in. So, Buddhimanta received the card and, kind of greeting him off. Then after a few weeks, maybe 1 or 2 weeks later, Buddhimanta called that chief executive and said that, my dear sir, do you remember me that day you came to my stall? This guy immediately remembered, yeah, I remember, you'd like to come and meet me? Yeah, I will definitely come and meet you and, join you at some time. But we have recently, come up with another series of books called Srimad Bhagavatam. So, would you like to have a copy of them? Maybe you like them. So, this chief executive was so much sold out to this guy, he didn't want to disappoint him. He said, okay, no, don't worry, send it over. I would have a copy of them. And he sold Bhagavatam sets to that guy. Then, couple of weeks later, Buddhimanda again called him and reminded him about himself. And he says, this time, we have got a wonderful set of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this is a very, detailed narration about the deeper science of spirituality, something and all he said. So, this chief executive still had a desire to somehow hire him. He didn't want to disappoint him. He said, why don't you, send that copy over? So, the story goes further. But the message here is, in book distribution, our Shraddha is generally questioned as well as tested, as well as Krishna tries to reveal a message for ourselves whilst he is also trying to help others. So, my personal realization in book distribution is, I have got both experiences. An experience where we could distribute a lot of books. I mean, I can go on some realizations. One day, I think this is in 1994 or 1995, we were doing book distribution in Srirangam. So, myself and one more friend of mine, we went and did book distribution. And Loknath Swami, we did one day, that day Bhagavatam said, Krishna art said, so many books we sold. We were so happy. So, Loknath Swami Maharaj was there along with Padyatra devotees in the temple. At that time, he gave, special blessings to us. So, I was so proud. I was so, I've done a fantastic book distribution. So, the very next day or a few days later, with that pride that, I got special attention from Loknath Swami Maharaj and got, that story was pretty long. I could not even sell one book. So, rather than, sometimes book distribution, rather than looking at the results that we have to achieve in terms of meaning others, sometimes book distribution is an opportunity for self-realization. Krishna puts us to introspect, did I do something wrong? Maybe I didn't chant properly. Maybe I didn't have proper Shraddha. Maybe I didn't present some. This is one part of it. The second part of it is that because of this book distribution, when these experiences of people not receiving Bhagavad Gita or anything from us, it helps us to buckle up more and get more deeper into thinking on taking part in active services in Krishna consciousness, with the feeling that if these guys are not taking, their children won't be given Krishna consciousness, their children won't be properly trained up. So the society is going to be having a bunch of quote-unquote idiots. So let us better win more and more souls now in some way or other. Pray to Krishna by hook or crook. Let us win more souls to Krishna and we can increase our desperateness. In marketing strategy, we always tell one, either go after the place where there is more demand or go after the place where there is more challenge. So both places, a marketing person will be able to, you know, sell his product if he pitches in correctly. A very famous marketing story is a person was sent to Africa to sell shoes. And the first marketing guy went and came back and said that nobody in Africa wears shoes. So we can't sell even a single shoes because they don't have a habit of wearing shoes there. The second marketing guy said that please send me truckloads of shoes because nobody wears shoes. So this is the place I'm supposed to be selling shoes. So the perspective is when somebody is not taking Bhagavad Gita, that opens up a very big opportunity of preaching Krishna consciousness. Maybe we should go one level down. Maybe we go one level lower to see what makes them, you know, interested in Krishna consciousness. And from there, that's how Prabhupada did. That's how Prabhupada penetrated the market. And the last part is with respect to our own reading and our own participating in, you know, philosophical understanding of Krishna consciousness. This is something which is very, very essential as devotees. Bhagavad Gita, Kinchita Jita, Ganga, Jalalava, Kanika, Pita, Sakritapi, Ena, Murari, Samarcha, Kriyate, Tasya, Yamena, Charcha. It is said that even from a dharmic perspective, forget about spiritual preaching, even from a dharmic perspective, even if you want to safeguard yourself from Yamaraj's fear, then we need to read Ganga, you know, Bhagavad Gita, Kinchinta Jita. Little bit of Bhagavad Gita should be read because that will save us from the cycle of birth and death. Forget about preaching, devotion, indebtedness, all those things are later. So somewhere or other, our mind, our intelligence gets carried away by the so-called education system that we were brought up in. So we need to somewhere tame the mind by giving either allurements or chastisement. And, you know, engage ourselves in this reading of Krishna consciousness literatures, because this is not for becoming a scholar. This is our choice as well as for our benefit. So I'm not sure if I did respond to your question directly, but I thought at least I did some.
Yes, Prabhu, wonderful explanation. And this again leads to another query over here for me. So you said that we should go down to a level. I'm just giving my background, what is over here is. Like, I have started a small group of kids for the Bhagavad Gita. And then we learn some verses. And then at the end of, during the Bhagavad Gita, when it is the Jayanti, Bhagavad Gita competition will be there over here. Just like a recitation, not exactly a competition. So, yesterday when I went, so they were more interested that will you take our kids for the Bhagavad Gita class. So, But for me it was like 15 children which I can handle, only that many I have taken. So, do you suggest me that I should say yes to them so that these kids can come into Krishna consciousness?
Whether you should say yes or not, we should arrange some facilitation by which, you know, interested or inquisitive people are facilitated. Whether you should say yes or not depends upon, you know, your, time, place, circumstances and your situation, family, responsibilities. Because committing and not executing it nicely is also not very good.
Yeah.
So we should facilitate. If you could not facilitate, at least we should say sorry to Krishna and request Krishna to arrange some souls to come forward and take this forward. Because anybody who is coming and showing interest, it is our duty, because we are Krishna's marketing army. Forget about Krishna's marketing army. We are our spiritual masters. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is entrusted upon to give more and more Krishna consciousness to people. That doesn't mean that not at the cost of sacrificing ours. But at least we should see if we can facilitate in some capacity. in a very practical manner, not a, you know, fanatic or trying to be impractical that way. So if somebody is showing interest to learn, it is our duty to show the right path.
Okay. Okay, bro. Bro, which was the verse you said now? Bhagavad Gita. You said now.
That is from Vrajagovindam by Shankaracharya.
Okay.
Bhagavad Gita, Kinchita Jita, Ganga, Jalalava Kanika. You can search for Vrajagovindam by Adi Shankaracharya.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Hare
Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhuji. If you give me permission, I want to share one or two experience for book distribution.
Sure.
Yeah. Actually, Mataji, there were so many times that we distributed so many books, and there were some time when we distributed only few books. So we went through all these emotions and all that. Sometimes we feel very happy, joyful, and sometimes we feel depressed. Sometimes people glorify us. Sometimes people like think that what kind of people are these that they are not distributing some these books. So we learned through these experiences that these books we are just an instrument. Krishna is making us an instrument, and those people who are taking these books, they are predestined to receive these books, because these books are not ordinary books. These are mercy of Krishna. These are words of Krishna. So if they are predestined and you are the instrument, then they will come to you. If they are predestined and other person is the instrument for giving the book, they will go to other person. So this way we can save ourselves from any emotional, you know, emotional problem that we feel upset and we feel very happy. So this way we can save ourselves. And other thing I felt that if we carry prasad with us, prasad in the sense of organic candies or means like close packet of candies or close packet of biscuits or something like which should be organic and close, so we can give it to them. If they are not taking book, we can at least ask them to chant Hare Krishna. We should carry some card, something with us, so that we can show it to people and we can ask them at least to chant Hare Krishna. And even if they are not okay, it is fine, because maybe not today, but in future they would get some Sukriti and they would come to us, or maybe to somebody else. And number third point, I have felt that before my kid was born, I used to go with my Prabhu. But before, after that, I stopped going because he was small and I could not go for 2.5 years. Now I started going again. So I felt that now I have so much gap from book distribution. So I don't feel sometimes so confident in talking to people, because I miss that experience, 2.5 year experience. So it is kind of, again, it is, we are instrument. We don't have that capability, but so I feel that missing experiencing. So whenever I talk to people, it is like I feel that I'm not able to convince them. But sometimes they take books. So I feel that if we look in the eyes of people and if we try to like tell them confidently, so they take our confidence and they take our books. They don't see even our words what we are speaking. So they see our conviction and confidence in these books, that I felt in these experiences of book distribution. Thank you so much. And one more thing, you said that sometimes people come to you for taking their kids for reciting Bhagavatam and all the Bhagavad Gita, for Bhagavad Gita classes. So in that, if you could ask your friends to be part of this group, then you can take help from those friends. And it will be like helping them as well, like in engaging Krishna service. And you cannot miss, like you won't be depriving those kids as well in getting into these classes.
Right.
That's what I was thinking. Thank you so much.
Sure, Mataji, very helpful point. We'll surely do that for the next round on Sunday when we go.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhupada.
Jai, Hare Bol. Okay, I think we should end here.
Okay. If we don't have any question or comments of Prabhuji, we can wind up the call.
Jai.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Pancha Kalpat Rubhyasya, Chupa Sindhu Vaivcha, Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavetvo Namaste.